Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
The Cricket Podcast.
I think it should never be permitted to happen again.
That is very good.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Cricket Podcast with me, Jack Hope, and Max Roy Brown. How are you doing, Max?
Hello. Yeah, good. Thank you, Jack. How are you?
I'm not too bad. I've been enjoying the cricket this week, as usual. You are listening to our midweek IPL special show, where we talk about the IPL. We'll be reviewing the fixtures that happened on Tuesday, Wednesday and Thursday this week, and looking forward to the weekend as the IPL reaches the sharp end of the tournament. A quick reminder that we do have a second show that came out earlier this week where we talk about things that aren't the IPL. So if the IPL isn't your bag, we know that includes a portion of our audience.
based on the stats.
Yeah. There's a 45-minute chat with Daniel Gallen about the ongoing crisis, would you say, Max, in South African cricket?
I think that's fair. He certainly seemed to think crisis was an acceptable word to use.
It was great to speak with him, and we do. I mean, even if you like the IPL, go back and listen to that if you've not heard it already.
Well, we talked about the IPL as well, anyway, so it's fine. Listen to the whole thing.
Max, before we get into the body of the show, though, shall we remind people where to find us?
Absolutely. You can get in touch with us on Twitter or Instagram at the Cricket Pod, or email us if you've got any stories or anything you'd like to share at thecricketpod@gmail.com. And also subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts.
Yeah,
please.
Or wherever you follow podcasts. I mean, if you're a Spotify guy or girl, click follow on Spotify. They all count towards our chartable statistics, which is why we're in the business.
Absolutely.
Right, the IPL. The first game we're going to be talking about is looking back to Tuesday this week. It was the Delhi Capitals versus Kings 11 Punjab, Max.
Indeed.
What happened?
Well, Jack, I mean, bearing in mind we just mentioned our episode from Monday, I don't know if you remember whether we covered the fact that Shikhar Dhawan scored a century in that episode. I think we might have mentioned it.
I thought that was actually... Did we? I thought it was one of the big omissions from that show.
No, I think we ended up mentioning it about four times. So to repay our faith, he did it again on Tuesday and scored his second century in as many games. Unfortunately for him and the rest of the Delhi Capitals side, no one else decided to turn up. So I think he was supported by a couple of people who scored 14. And apart from that, it was pretty terrible. Which, yeah, I mean, credit obviously goes to Kings 11 Punjab for, dragging it back after Dhawan scored his quick 100. I think it was 106 off 61 balls in the end. So
it was pretty good. Yeah.
No slouch. He was knocking it to all parts. But Kings 11 Punjab in response got off to a pretty handy start thanks to Chris Gayle now back in the side. And let's, I think it's fair to say, since he's come back into the fold, Kings 11 have looked like a different team, and the results certainly suggest that. So he got Kings 11 up to 50 off five overs, which was a pretty strong start. He was then bowled by Ravi Ashwin, and then Ashwin followed that up by running out Agarwal with some very bad running.
It was embarrassing.
It was a single all day long. And then they just stopped halfway down the wicket for about 5 seconds and then carried on running and still nearly made it. It was really poor. But that didn't matter, because that meant Nicholas Puran came in to bat, and he just started smacking it everywhere. Scored 53 off 28 with 6 fours and 3 sixes.
He was pretty good, Puran. I enjoyed watching him bat.
The sound off the bat was nice. It was one of those, like, it was clean hitting.
It was very clean hitting. Before we talk about Kings 11 Punjab, because I think they're the real story in this game. Let's quickly mention the streak Dhawan is on. He has scored 333 runs in his last four IPL games. With only one dismissal. I think he scored about 200 of the last 300 runs Delhi Capitals have scored. He is in a rich vein of form, is he not, Max?
Yes, he is, rather. And he'll be... Yeah, that'll be propelling him up the charts towards the orange cap. Unfortunately for him, it was in a losing cause this time.
Yeah,
Puran pretty much did most of the work. And they won with an over to spare in the end, so it was pretty comfortable.
It was, yeah. The ridiculous thing about this is that Kings 11 are back in the tournament, isn't it?
Yeah. We've been joking about it for about the last 3 weeks. they could win their last seven games.
they were basically eliminated, and then they figured out this kind of game plan. They've solved their bowling problem, and they seem to have solved their bowling problem by bowling Glenn Maxwell early. Which, you know, wasn't how I expected things to turn out.
IPL season to go either.
No, exactly. I mean, like, Glenn Maxwell is a bowler now. But by getting him some overs in the power play, which is bowling quite well, by the way, that has freed up Mohammed Shami and Arshdeep Singh to solve their death bowling problem, which was really why they kept losing games. They'd play really well and then concede 1,000 runs in the last five overs. And... but now they've sort of solved that problem, and then with Gale coming back in as well, they score a little bit quicker. They actually do look like a potential shout to go on and do something here. I am stunned, Max. I mean, I don't know, but how has this happened?
I don't know. We were bragging on them for ages, saying how terrible they were. They don't have the players. If you look at their team, it's just not good enough. And now look at them.
Yeah,
they've got net run rate on their side as well when it comes to the showdown with KKR. Now only 2 points ahead of them in the table.
That's a big thing. I mean, like, KKR, we'll get onto their game in a second, but they don't have a great net run rate because of what they did. and they've only got an even record, so they don't even have sort of a game to play with. If Kings 11 Punjab can get to an even 7 wins, 7 losses, I think they have at least a 50% chance of going through. Yeah. And I think if they can get to 8-6, so I think that means they have to win their last four games. It's a bit of a stretch, but it could be done. I think they're playing mainly the sort of poorer teams in the tournament. The Kings 11 Punjab will almost certainly be in the playoffs. In fact, they're probably the second favourites after KKR to take that fourth spot.
It's quite the turnaround. And I'm going to put it all down to Chris Gayle, universe boss. He's back.
He is back, and he is good. Anything else we need to mention from this game, do you think, Max?
I think we've covered that fairly well. Did you have any final points?
No, I mean, like, maybe to praise Nicholas Puran one more time. He now, I think... has the highest strike rate of any batter in the middle overs of this IPL. He scores at over 10 and over between, what do they count as middle overs? Is it 7 to 14? The period of the game where mostly people just tap it around. Yeah. Nicholas Puran is a beast. And I think one of the benefits of having Gale back in the team is it helps set up the Puran explosion a little bit.
Yes.
Well, we can talk about Kings XI of Punjab a little more, because we've got some preview action for them. But I think Puran's innings in this game was good as well, because there was a minor wobble, wasn't there? When Agarwal was run out, they Kings XI were sort of three down for 60-odd or something like that. Not chasing a big score, obviously, but they did need somebody to come in and steady the ship a little bit.
Yeah, and boy, did he do it.
He did, yeah. He was striking the ball like he was double parked. it was a great win for Kings XI Punjab on Tuesday. That moves us on to Wednesday's fixture between the Kolkata Knight Riders and Royal Challengers Bangalore.
Oh dear.
Yeah, I mean, the Kolkata Knight Riders took on the Royal Challengers Bangalore. I say took on, Max. The only thing they took was the piss.
Or one hell of a beating.
They scored 84 for 8 in 20 overs, the Knight Riders, which is the lowest score by an IPL team ever, who haven't also been bowled out.
Right, yes, in 20 overs, yeah.
Yeah, it was an incredibly poor performance that didn't start very well and never at any point really was going very well. The Royal Challengers Bangalore quite easily chased down the score for the loss of only 2 wickets. We should mention Mohammad Siraj. He became the first bowler in IPL history to bowl 2 maidens. At one point, he had figures of 2 overs, 2 maidens, no runs, 3 wickets.
Take yourself off at that point. Sure. Yeah, just be like, you know what? I'm done. I'm going home.
His figures did eventually collapse to 4 overs, 2 maidens, 8 runs for 3 wickets.
Exactly. That's rubbish.
But I think, like, overall, he was probably happy with his work, Max. Yeah. What did you think of Siraj, who I think just came back into the team for this game?
Well, that was an inspired pick then, wasn't it?
It's Virat Kohli and Mike Hessen, whoever he is.
4D chess.
Yeah.
Yeah, what can you say? It's just very, very impressive. Obviously, slightly aided by KKR, but it was... Yeah, I have very little to add other than ridiculous.
Yeah, well... When a game like this happens, it's somewhat hard to come up with talking points besides saying, "Aha, that team did badly." So I mean, there isn't really that much to say. I mean, the good thing for the tournament, and we did say this on Monday's show, that we needed Royal Challengers Bangalore to do us a little bit of a favour,
keep it interesting,
and beat the Knight Riders. This result does give the chasing teams an actual chance now. If KKR had won, the IPL's group stage may effectively have been over. But now, because of the sort of swing in net run rate that it causes, it means that SRH and Kings XI Punjab now have a reasonable chance. I actually saw someone did the maths on this, and I think there's KKR is still the favourites to make the final four, but there's about a 1 in 3 chance that somebody could catch them. Which I think makes the last week or last weekend pretty interesting. It's definitely the result that the neutrals wanted, isn't it, Max?
Yep, 100%. And also the result that I wanted as someone who's put my colours to a certain mast.
Mention KKR briefly as well, because we probably should really rub in how bad they were.
Oh, it's like we've been saying that they've sort of, I mean, they've done well, haven't they, to win games without playing particularly well. No one's sort of taken the tournament with a scruff of the neck and strung together a few good performances. We've seen nothing from Dre Russ, really. And we were waiting for them to explode, and they've imploded instead.
Yes, I think it's the wrong kind of plosion.
Yes. Change of captain. That worked, didn't it?
I've got this down as a point. I don't really understand why they sacked their captain halfway through the season when they were comfortably in a playoff position. I mean, like, Morgan may be the better captain, but what's the point? What were they hoping to achieve?
I mean, you don't need to change the captain to use Morgan's knowledge anyway. You can lean on him. You've got 2 strategic timeouts, so
yeah,
you can use those 2 minutes to ask him.
So that's weird thinking. I mean, I think beyond that too. Right, I think their big problem fundamentally is that Sunil Narine and Andre Russell, they're cricket players, they're not a game plan. and KKR rely quite heavily on those two doing stuff. And it, to the point, I mean, like Morgan in his post-match presser, he called out Russell and Narine. He said, these two players aren't playing, and basically that's why we lost. And I just don't think that is a... That's not a good starting
good
point
enough, no.
for a team. And it means...
there are another nine people there yeah. who've all been rather offended.
It means that with four games to go, you're effectively saying if Russell and Narine don't come back and win us at least two of those, we aren't going to expect anyone else to get us out of this situation.
Yeah.
I thought it was a bit odd from Morgan there. I think there might be some problems in the KKR camp.
Well, it doesn't... I mean, yeah. A change of captain doesn't necessarily suggest a happy camp, does it?
No. It doesn't. Yeah. Anyway, I mean,
hopefully,
like,
there'll be a good scandal to come out for us.
That's what we're hoping for. We haven't heard anything yet, but maybe there will be a good scandal.
Fingers crossed.
I think that's, you know, that's the game, isn't it? Really?
Yeah.
KKR were really crap. Royal Challengers Bangalore bowled plot pretty well and chased down the score without any trouble.
Mm.
That pretty much guarantees them the playoffs.
Yeah. So second only on net run rate there. 14 points from 10. Yeah.
Yeah.
Unlikely to lose their last four as well.
It is unlikely. The model franchise, Royal Challengers Bangalore, leading the way. Should we talk about today's game?
Let's.
It was the Royal Risers. Should we start that?
Try again.
The Rajasthan Royals.
Yes.
The Sunrisers Hyderabad.
Yes.
Was the fixture.
That was the fixture. Well done.
Because of yesterday's game, and I'm referring to the Kolkata Knight Riders implosion, it meant that this was a pretty big contest because the winner basically moved back into contention
back in it, yeah.
to make the IPL playoffs, and the loser, well, they kind of fall into the Chennai Super Kings pit of despair. This is how the game went.
It's not a place
Royals,
you want to be.
No, it's definitely not.
Dhoni just throwing furniture around.
The sea of Dhoni tears. Rajasthan Royals, they batted first. And it turned out that this was our weekly reminder that the Rajasthan Royals aren't very good.
You forget, don't you, sort of every
yeah.
week?
Yeah,
and
you
then,
do.
And then
you
they
do.
Let
You're
you
like,
know.
Oh, this team's got Ben Stokes and Steve Smith. I'm going to watch
and
this.
And Josh Butler and Jofra Archer.
Anyway, they scored a rather ponderous 154, which featured probably the worst 30 I've ever seen from Ben Stokes. And I don't mean the worst 30 Ben Stokes has ever scored. I mean, in the history of cricket, this might have been the worst 30. I don't think he hit any amateur cricket, Sabutio cricket, PlayStation cricket. I don't think in the whole innings Ben Stokes middled a single ball. It was really painful to watch, and you could see how like he was getting angry.
Yeah.
He was tensing up, and he was doing exercises with his wrists to try and loosen up. And whatever he did, he just couldn't score a run faster than a run a ball. He ended up using more than a quarter of the deliveries for the entire innings to score. Basically,
yeah, I mean, should you just sacrifice yourself at that point?
I kind of thought that had to be on. Like when they brought Rashid Khan, I was just like, track him and like either hit it right up in the air for six or be stumped. Like mm-hmm. you can't.
Fall on your sword.
Yeah, anyway, he was batting so slowly that Sanju Samson kind of got out in frustration. Ben Stokes was then promptly out. And Josh Butler, who now bats five for some reason, was out shortly after that as well. I mean, Stokes and Butler between them used about 45 of the deliveries in the innings and scored 40 runs.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know about you, but I would swap Butler and Stokes.
I would definitely do that.
The Stokes opening experiment has been tried before, and it's never been particularly successful.
Yeah, I think it's really odd. Anyway, 154 was the target. Sunrisers Hyderabad came out to bat, and if Stokes was the worst 30, it was like, let's be honest, it was probably the worst 30 of the IPL that I've seen.
Yeah, Warner's was the worst four, was it?
So pardon?
Warner's was the worst four.
No, Warner's. It's the other extreme. This is the duality of the Rajasthan Royals, is that they're able to completely stink the place out, but also have like a bowler bowling the best in the tournament. By miles the best as well, I think. I mean, like, Rabada might have more wickets, but like Jofra Archer is untouchable, and his first two overs in this game were unbelievable. I am almost speechless when it comes to actually articulating how good they were. Warner had basically no chance of surviving the first six balls.
Yeah, he must have thought he was facing Broad again.
Yeah, I mean, he was just way too good. I mean, and Warner's a competent batsman. So he gets rid of Warner. Comes back in his next over, does a similar thing to young... Well, he's not really young anymore, is he? Young Johnny Bairstow, middle-aged Johnny Bairstow.
YJB.
He bowls Bairstow, nicks off Warner, and it looks like Rajasthan Royals... If you didn't know anything about the Rajasthan Royals, you'd think, what a great start this is. They're on for a win. But, and as I actually tweeted, it's like... This, like, the end of the second Jofra over is exactly the moment when Rajasthan Royals fans, Steve Smith, whoever, the whole team realise that they're a one-man team and they use 50% of their one man. Like, because the rest of the bowlers are terrible. I mean, they ended the power play. SRH ended the power play nearly 60. And Jofra Archer bowled two overs for six. Two overs, two for six.
Yeah.
I mean, it's there's no support there.
Is it Tiagi? His partner in crime.
Whoever they give the ball to. I think he opened the bowling. They've tried Unag Kat. He doesn't really cut the mustard.
Stokes.
Stokes
gets flayed.
Stokes but went for two sixes in the one over he bowled.
Came back at the end and bowled a bunch of wides as well.
Yeah. So they lost. I mean, they lost. That's what happened. They scored 154. Jofra Archer bowled two good overs. Then Manish Pandey came in and he played really well. Scored 85 off 45 balls.
That's pretty
and
good.
And Sunrisers Hyderabad cruised it.
I think Sunrisers have been due a performance from someone who's not Williamson, Warner, or Bairstow as well, haven't they? So that'll be good. That'll be nice for them. They'll be happy about that.
Yeah. We should mention for the Sunrisers as well. Jason Holder played his first game of the IPL.
Yes.
And he had a good one. I think he took three wickets, took a run out as well with the ball.
Yeah.
He was in replacing Williamson, who I think's been struggling with a hamstring, so I don't think it was a tactical switch as such. I think.
But actually, I mean, Holder can bat.
It did
and
work.
They've been short-ish on the bowling, so it could be the balance they need to kick on.
It did work. I mean, I still think Warner shouldn't be playing and Williamson should be in an ideal well for them.
Yeah.
But I felt like their team was a bit better balanced, I think. I mean, like, in the game, Sunrisers and Hyderabad were a much better team than the Royals. Any other observations, Max? So I've got some stuff about the Royals that I think needs to be said.
I think I probably agree with you about David Warner. I mean, he's been a bit ponderous this tournament, hasn't he? And I mean, today he was just done by some world-class bowling, and you can't really have a go at him for that. But I mean, throughout the tournament, he's not really been his usual swashbuckling self. But the difficulty is just when you've got someone with that amount of pedigree in the IPL, in particular, it's, you know, you kick him out of the team at your own risk, don't you?
Well, he is also the captain. I mean, it could be a giant PR disaster, couldn't it, if you fired your captain, one of the historically best players, and then it didn't work. I think 2020 Warner is a different beast to 2015 Warner, basically.
Yeah. Anyway, you're talking about the year there rather than the format of cricket.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
One-sided format where one team gets 15 overs.
Well, it's traditionally easier to bat second in T20 cricket, so maybe they should think about bumping down the number of overs. T19, I don't know, or
2019.
Yeah. Rajasthan Royals. So there's a few things on them. They're bad. They are bad, aren't they? I'm not wrong about this. Like,
evidence points that way.
I keep hearing people say things like, on paper, they're not bad, but I just can't... I think they are bad on paper.
Right.
I mean, as far as I can see, they only actually have two good players. They've got Archer and Butler.
Yeah.
Is that fair?
Well, Stokes, maybe. I mean, he's one of
Stokes,
the best
maybe.
Players
so
in the
Stokes,
world,
I
but he
Stokes...
hasn't been playing cricket for most of the half of the year, so...
So I've got 4 points down here that I think are problems for them. So the first one was that they only have two good players, Archer and Butler. The second point is that they have a particular problem when it comes to bowling because they've got 16 overs of...
Not Jofra Archer.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's not even not Jofra Archer. It's like sub-replacement level bowling. Like, if if any other team had an injury and they called up like their next best bowler, they would probably still be better than the second best Royals bowler. Does that make sense? Like, that might be a bit of a convoluted way of describing it.
The other team's backups are better than Jofra Archer.
I basically think. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
We should give Steve Smith the Glenn Maxwell treatment and get him on the bowl a few pies.
Yeah, that's a potential solution. So there's 2 points. The third point, Ben Stokes is a disaster. He's having maybe the worst season imaginable.
Like I said, it's almost like he's just got off the plane, having spent loads of time not playing cricket, being with his ill dad in New Zealand.
He's had 6 knocks now. He's opened the batting 6 times, and his strike rate is 105.
Has he really been here for 6 games?
Yeah. He's been bad for the whole tournament.
Flies by, doesn't it?
His bowling, he's almost unusable as a bowler in T20 cricket.
Yeah.
And they can't drop him.
Hmm.
That's not good. That's a bad combination of things. And fourth, Steve Smith's captaincy is terrible. So today, Jofra Archer was bowling well and the other pace bowlers were not bowling well. Why would he not? I mean, so that Shreyas Gopal is probably an okay spinner. He would potentially get into some of the other teams. He's not awful. Mm. He didn't bowl until the seventh over, at which point the game's effectively over. It's such negative captaincy. I think his approach to T20 cricket is bad.
Do you think you should have bowled Archer for another over?
Well, I think when you're defending 154 and you're 1 wicket away from having Jason Holder at the crease in his first game, you have to. It's not 154 is not that many runs. Steve Smith captained that team like they were defending 180, and it was like, okay, we'll use some bowlers in the power play because anyone can hit that, and then we'll tighten things up with our spinners over 7 through 14. And it's one, the spinners aren't really good enough to do that job, so that's a problem. But if they're not good enough to do the job, maybe use them creatively. We see, is Maxwell a top tier spinner? No. If you use him in a situation where the matchups favour what you're trying to do, you can make him an above average bowler. Like, people don't necessarily want they don't necessarily want to start against Glenn Maxwell's kind of accurate off spin. Some batsmen will, don't get me wrong. But, like, a lot of opening batsmen won't fancy that. They'll have done the matchups and they'll be saying, okay, we're going to use Glenn Maxwell here. I feel like today, if they weren't going to keep on bowling Archer, then they had to go with a spinner. Because I think Pandey's record against spin is not his record against pace bowling. Instead, they fed him and he feasted. He feast mode on. Anyway, Rajasthan Royals, they're terrible. Should we run through the table quickly, then we'll take a break and do some previews?
Sounds good.
Right, so bottom of the table is the Chennai Super Kings, which is hilarious.
Boo.
Yeah, that is where they deserve to be. Just above them with 8 points. So Chennai Super Kings, just to be clear, they've only won 3 of their 10 games. Rajasthan Royals, they have played 11, only won 4. They're on 8 points. Looks like it's probably over for them.
On the Chennai Super Kings, it's a long way, isn't it, since the opening game of the IPL where they beat the reigning champions.
It certainly is. I mean, they were in the final last year. What a fall from grace.
Stunning.
Fifth and sixth, Sunrisers Hyderabad and Kings 11 Punjab, both 4 wins and 6 losses. SRH are actually fifth on net run rate, which is positive and could be a factor, I think.
Yeah.
Fourth place, KKR, with an even 5-5 record. Mumbai Indians are third with 6 wins, 3 losses. And then tied top, Delhi Capitals and Royal Challengers Bangalore with 7 wins and 3 defeats apiece. It's been good so far. We've got a very important weekend coming up. Should we take that previously mentioned break and then come back and talk about that?
Let's do it.
Future Cop Cricket Club. We'll be right back.
Yes, Jack, so time to move on to the previews, and I will kick us off with tomorrow's game, which is Friday, and that is the aforementioned terrible CSK and Mumbai Indians. So this is also at Sharjah, so if Mumbai Indians bat first, it's probably a good chance for them to set a 2020 record. And if they bat second, then I expect them to win by 9 or 10 wickets. I have absolutely no hope for CSK. It should be extremely one-sided. I can't see any other result than a really comfortable win for Mumbai Indians.
That's basically what I think
and,
as well.
Yeah, something to up their net run rate a bit more and cement them at the top, joining the other two on 14 points. And yeah, CSK haven't got much to play for either, have they, really?
Yeah, CSK Pride. Are a disaster. Crickfiz did an article on CSK. The elite team of cricket analysts at Crickfiz, do you know what they came up with?
Do they need to score more runs?
No, it's a three-point plan. Right. One, they should be playing to here. Two, they're all really old now. And three, they don't have any young players.
Right, so they want to fix their old problem by playing Imran Tahir. And points two and three are the same thing.
Yeah. I mean, bringing Tahir in also means they have to drop Watson or Faf du Plessis.
Probably not going to do that.
Yeah, and I think it's hard to drop them when, like... on the topic, they said Crickfiz said that CSK don't trust their youth players. They don't actually have any. They don't have any players under the age of 22, I don't think. So, wow. You know, it's poor recruitment, poor leadership, and just a poor squad for CSK. Mumbai Indians are going to win that, I agree.
Do better.
Yeah, should we move on to Saturday?
I think so, onto greener pastures.
Right, so as usual with Saturdays in the IPL, there are two games. The morning fixture for UK listeners is Kolkata Knight Riders v Delhi Capitals. It's a pretty big game for the Knight Riders.
Yeah.
So the Knight Riders, they play on Saturday and Monday. And I think if they can win this one, then it takes a lot of the pressure off their Monday evening game. And their Monday evening game is against Kings 11 as well, who are really
That's
on
huge.
A charge.
That
yeah.
is huge.
So I think, looking at the form, they're not going to fancy Kings 11. I think Delhi Capitals... not out of form, but look maybe actually look slightly more beatable than Kings 11 right now. It sounded like after the last game they were going to break glass in case of emergency, and they were going to bring back Narine despite his questionable action, and they expect Dre Russ to be back. The Capitals, on the other hand, they're basically through. Well, I think it might be quite a hard one to call. Max, what do you reckon will happen?
I've got no faith in KKR now. They're just not performing. I think they're on the wrong trajectory. I think they will fall further.
Well, fair enough. I probably agree with that. I can't see them being this is going to shock you. I can't see them being any worse than they were on Tuesday night or Wednesday night. But I still think there's something deeply wrong there. They need to take some more risks with the bat. Their bowling, their power play bowling in particular is dreadful. Another thing to look forward to will be Shikhar Dhawan. We all want him to go 3 for 3, don't we, Matt?
That would be good.
It would be. The afternoon game. Should we talk about the afternoon game on Saturday?
Mm-hmm.
That is Kings 11 Punjab v Sunrisers Hyderabad. Now...
Well...
After today's game, this one actually is. This is potentially the biggest game of the weekend.
Yeah, I think so.
Both teams, as
especially
we said,
if KKR lose to Delhi Capitals in the previous game, then it's looking very tasty indeed.
If KKR lose, then these two will basically be playing to go ahead of KKR into fourth place because of the net run rate.
Yeah.
They've both already got a better net run rate, so this could be absolutely massive. If KKR win, then they can still catch them, but whoever loses will be out of the tournament, basically. There's a lot of permutations, so you know, bear with us with some of the explanations here. Kings 7 Punjab are on a bit of a streak. I think back-to-back-to-back, they've beaten the top three teams in the IPL this year. They haven't managed to beat one of the weaker teams yet, I don't think. Could this be their day, Max, do you think?
Well, yeah, 100%. Like, I mean, they're on such a good run. Three from three, including the top three in the tournament. And was their other win in the tournament, was that was also the Super Over, wasn't it, against Mumbai Indians?
Which they yes, did twice. It was. Yes.
So
yes.
If they can put that form together against the teams that are palpably worse than those three, then there's absolutely no reason they shouldn't be in the playoffs, despite everything we've been saying. But yeah. why haven't they? Like, what gives?
I think it's that maybe they just didn't quite have that explosive edge that someone like Chris Gayle brings them. Agarwal and KL Rahul, whilst they're both very attractive-looking batsmen, probably don't have it in their locker to score
they kind
30
of need,
or 15 balls or something like that.
They kind of need one of their openers to get out early, don't they? Like, one of them can go long and, like, do the anchor roll, and then you want Chris Gayle in to bash a few off 10, 15 balls and get you a good platform, because they've scored lots of runs, the top two, but not quickly.
Well, I think that's reasonable, but I think maybe the other thing is they didn't necessarily have a lot of support below them. So Pooran's been having a pretty good tournament, but I mean, after that, like, Glenn Maxwell's been pretty
dire.
Off the top of my head, I'm struggling to recall another middle order batsman that's done anything. If you throw Gayle in at number three, then he either comes out with license to strike, because they've scored 40 off the power play or 45 off the power play and they're in an okay position. Or he comes as an opener and he does traditional Chris Gayle, which is sort of block five balls and then tee off. Either way, both positive points, I think, for Kings 11. And I think it takes the emphasis of the pressure off Pooran's line. So we were saying that Pooran's been striking really well in the middle overs. Having Gayle as another option to potentially do that, or potentially set them up into a slightly better position, take some of the pressure off Pooran, or puts him in a position where his ability to strike in the middle overs takes the game away from teams. That, I think, in a nutshell, is Kings 11's problem as well. They've been in a lot of games, but not been able to close or take the game away from another side. Pooran could potentially do that were he working off a platform that was 10 runs better than he has been working off.
Yeah.
I think in this game, one of the key battles actually will be Pooran v Rashid Khan. So Rashid Khan's probably the best middle over bowler in the tournament. Pooran, the best middle over batter. I think that's maybe where it'll be decided. I'm coming down on the side of Kings 11 Punjab. Max, what do you reckon?
Oh, I've got to back Sunrisers. I have done all the way through and I will carry on.
That moves us on to Sunday, Max.
Yes. So the first game up on Sunday is about as one-sided as Friday's game, as RCB play CSK again.
Mm-hmm.
We've said how we feel about CSK and their performances and their team, and I don't expect it to get any better as they play the team that are currently second in the table. I suppose the only hope that CSK have is that RCB have one of their days where it all goes a bit funny.
They're not having many of those days anymore, though, are they?
Well, that's the thing. Maybe one is long overdue. They've won four of their last five, RCB. So I think we are long overdue a breakdown, and maybe CSK could get some pride back, like wounded lion territory, that sort of thing. But I mean, it's fairly academic for them, and probably RCB will, you know, they'll want to be at the races because there's those top two places, which, assuming Mumbai beat CSK on the Friday, you'll be looking at teams all on the same record, 7-3 from 10 games, three teams on 14 points vying for the top two places where you get that extra shot at making the final. So I can't see RCB slipping up on this one.
Yeah. This is always quite an entertaining game, I think. It's the matchup between the proper cricket men and the cricket hipsters. Royal Challengers Bangalore obviously representing the proper cricket men. I really hate CSK. I hope they crash and burn. I hope Dhoni cries. I hope CSK never make the playoffs again. Royal Challengers Bangalore are going to win this.
Say what you think. Well, should team we move Varat. On then?
Team Varat? Team Virat?
That was yeah.
A bit of a Trumpism there, wasn't it?
Should we move on then from yes. From RCB CSK to Rajasthan Royals versus Mumbai Indians, another game between a team that's really good and a team that's really bad. So again, I can't give you a lot in the way of tantalizing insight or expectations for this one, aside from Rajasthan Royals are almost as bad as CSK, and Mumbai Indians should wipe the floor with them. But the thing is, as we've said, with Rajasthan Royals, they have a little bit more in the way of the odd good player. So if both of them come off and, you know, Archer bowls 4 overs, 4 for 10, and Butler scores 100 off 40 balls, then there's always a chance.
There's 16 overs for the rest of them to fuck it up.
Yeah.
I
give them a good enough platform, but I think there's probably more interest in this one because I think, although Rajasthan Royals will be, well, they're out, aren't they? They're done. But
probably, yeah. It would be a miracle if they weren't.
Yeah, and Mumbai Indians, they did lose in that super over, so they got to pick themselves up from that, which, well, they will hopefully have done against CSK on the Friday, but yeah. I'd like to see something interesting happen just to shake it up at the top of the table, but I can't see it, even though it's more likely than Friday's game.
No, so I actually think this is one of the biggest bankers in the whole tournament. Mumbai Indians are going to beat Rajasthan Royals, yeah. The reason for that is that Rajasthan Royals are a team that Mumbai Indians, they are a team that are set up with really good role definition. They've got a lot of T20 specialists and they've got a very good game plan. Like, everyone on their team sort of roughly knows what the Mumbai Indians are trying to do. Now, that plays particularly badly into the Rajasthan Royals game plan, because the Rajasthan Royals are a team with basically no T20 specialists who have two or three guys who, if it comes off for them, can destroy another player or can destroy an element of a team's game. The problem for the Rajasthan Royals is that if Archer takes 3 for 10... the rest of the Mumbai Indians batting lineup have such a clear idea of what they're supposed to be doing that they'll probably still get 150. Maybe 160.
Probably more. Like, Mumbai Indians have, I mean, they bat deep. They've got good batting. And as we've said, Rajasthan Royals bowl shallow.
Their like floor performance is actually pretty high. And Rajasthan Royals, they can beat teams that rely heavily on three or four players because Archer could get them out or because Butler could hit them around the park. It's not, they don't beat teams that have
consistently good throughout.
That maybe don't have the best players in the tournament, although that's arguable because they have some of the best players in the tournament, that's for sure. But they do have 11 players that would probably compete in every other team. There's not really a weak player in that Mumbai Indians team.
No, I agree with that. And the first game between the two was a 57-run win for Mumbai Indians. So
I would expect something similar to that, basically. Mumbai Indians. That brings us to the last game of the weekend. And now, depending on how this goes, there's a lot of permutations involved in this, but the last game of the weekend, Kolkata Knight Riders v Kings XI Punjab, could, at this point, be the biggest game in the tournament. So if we go back to Saturday, if Kolkata Knight Riders lose to Delhi Capitals and then Kings XI Punjab beat Sunrisers Hyderabad, this will mean that these two play each other. Both teams will have won 5, lost 6, and, well, I mean, like, what more do you need to know? The winner
it's
of this
a, will, it's will, a proverbial will... four-pointer.
Yeah, it is a proverbial four-pointer. There's some permutations that obviously come into play there. But if Kings XI Punjab win this game, they will be above KKR with a better net run rate and probably be quite strong favourites to make the playoffs. In terms of the actual game, Kolkata Knight Riders, this is what I think it will come down to. I think a big part of the battle will be this. So Kolkata Knight Riders, they are basically the worst team bowling in the power play this year. I think they average 74 with the ball or something like that. Now, against a team, and we were talking about this a minute ago, with Agarwal, Rahul and Gale, that's not fantastic. You don't really want any of them getting in, because all three of them are capable of scoring a pretty quick 100 if you don't get them out early. You want to be removing one or two of them. And we've talked about Puran's middle over exploits, so they've got a game plan beyond the first six overs if they're able to develop that. I think Pat Cummins is going to have to step up to the plate here, otherwise Kolkata Knight Riders are going to lose. And I don't think he will. I think Kings XI Punjab on Monday evening will be top of the IPL. Max.
Top of the IPL?
Top of the they'll be fourth in the IPL.
I was going to say, that's quite a bold claim to make. I think that Kings XI will also, Kings XI will win the game. They will be out for revenge after the previous encounter where they lost by 2 runs. And they have the benefit this time of Chris Gale, so that will help. And I just, yeah, if you look ahead, I think, to the final fixtures, it's quite interesting that Kings XI Punjab and KKR, after they play, well, basically their last three fixtures are identical. So they play each other, and they play CSK, and they play Rajasthan Royals. So you would think, given that the other two are pretty bad,
Kings XI Punjab could actually do the 7.
This is it, isn't it? The winner of this game, pretty much, could be fourth place.
Oh, because, I'm looking forward to it.
Sunrisers' last two games are against RCB and Mumbai Indians, so they're unlikely to win both of those. So even if Kings XI Punjab lose to Sunrisers,
wow,
the running is in their favour.
I tell you what, it's in the hands of Kings XI, isn't it?
It is. I mean, like, it's in their hands.
What are the chances?
Could you imagine?
Right, I think this IPL midweek special has gone on slightly longer than we expected, so we will wrap it up now. A quick reminder that you can find us at The Cricket Pod on Twitter. You can email us thecricketpod@gmail.com. Or write a letter to Ross's address, which is Max, it's been a pleasure as always. Thank you very much for listening. Goodbye.
Bye.